What was that? I think Mark's trying to say something. What was that?
The system of three.
Did everybody hear that verse that he was talking about?
Wanting.
Can you read what was the verse again?
Isaiah 60 verse 3.
Oh, Isaiah 60 verse 3, yes.
Yes, I don't want to ask whether that coming to the light. Is it, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light,
mm-hmm.
and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Has that right. time come?
What's the question?
I'm asking whether this scripture has already been fulfilled.
The scripture is not fulfilled yet. This is when Israel will finally become the light to the nations.
So,
it's not the church.
So, Jordan,
yeah.
next chapter over, Isaiah 61,
mm-hmm.
and Lord says, and this is fulfilled in your reading today.
What was fulfilled?
61, 1 and 2 to the point of the Lord's favor, and then he stops.
Right, because the day of vengeance, the tribulation, hasn't happened yet.
Exactly, and he says...
And Isaiah 60 is at the end of the tribulation, that's when that's fulfilled. Okay. That's why I told you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Or 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, because Peter is a tribulation book, is it not? Don't all say an amen. Yeah. Yeah. Right? But Peter is reminding Israel in verses 9 and 10 of why God called them. They're a royal priesthood. He talks about them, they're being called out of darkness into his marvelous light, because previously they were in darkness all through the Gentile dispensation of grace. Okay? And so now, he talks about in time past, you were not the people. That's a reference to Hosea where he says, call her his name low of me, not my people, for I will not be your God. And so over in Hosea 1, and yet in Hosea chapter 2, in the place where it says you are not my people, again, it will be say you are my people. Okay, which again, is at the time of the tribulation where Peter's writing in 1 Peter. Okay, Peter is a tribulation book. Okay, where all those prophecies, like in Isaiah 60, are going to come to fruition. Okay, why do we say Peter is a tribulation book? Just look at the verses. 1 Peter chapter 1 with the same verse 5. In verse 7 there.
1 Peter 1, 7?
Mm-hmm.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
See, that's the second coming. The fire, the tribulation. Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9 is what Peter's talking about in 1 Peter 1, 7, isn't it? Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9, I'll put it there.
Zechariah
13, verses 8 and
9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
Okay, well, that's the fire of 1 Peter 1, 7, okay? You see, that's why it's so important to know which books are for who. Okay? Paul is the apostle of grace, Romans through Philemon, but Israel's got her books too. Okay? Hebrews through Revelation, after we're gone, right? A It's all about the tribulation, those books. Okay? And so when you look in the prophets and everything that pertains to Israel, you should have Israel in your mind as to who that's for and the tribulation and so forth, and not confuse it with the Gentile dispensation of grace today. We said this before, haven't we? Absolutely.
Always needs repeated, though.
Right. All right. Anyway, hopefully that clarifies that for you, Mark.
If only it could sink in.
It does, slowly, yeah. Slowly.
Yes, but the days are getting darker and cold.
Kingdom saints.
Yeah.
Okay, in their resurrected body, they will be a part of the kingdom, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, now, the church, the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
In the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the resting place between the departed kingdom saints and the departed members of the church, the body of Christ, is there mm-hmm. a separation there? Are they in separate resting places in the heavenlies, or what?
It's an interesting question. I don't think we have enough information about to make that determination, other than the fact that it's a general location. I mean, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 pretty much looks like Hebrews 12, 22, doesn't it? Look at 2 Corinthians 12, 2.
Okay.
Well, read verse 2.
I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth such a one, caught up to the third heaven.
Yeah. Now, in Hebrews 12, verse 22, what does it say?
Okay. Which verse?
22.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
And verse 23.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
But he just said spirits of just men perfected, right?
Right.
And that's in this heavenly Jerusalem. Paul talks about the third heaven. Now, we know at the end of the millennium, the heavenly Jerusalem comes out of heaven, right?
Right.
Okay. So is there a distinction? There doesn't seem to be much of a distinction right now, okay?
Right.
So I take it as that.
I'm going to say goodbye for today, Saints.
Okay, oh, no. Take
so
care.
Good seeing you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, he's the pre-incarnate Christ. Are you able to hear that? Skipper there.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes. No, yes, it's wonderful. Thank you.
By the saying that there were 10 Melchizedeks beginning with Seth and ending with Christ.
No, I don't see that.
Well, it's a Hebrew tradition, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of traditions.
Isn't there, though?
It's the question is, can you back it up with what it actually says in the Word?
That's right.
Say that angels don't have wings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we see scripture that talks about angels flying, and we also know that they they can change forms. Like sometimes they appear like man, and at other times they look more extraordinary. Like they have this bright glow. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what do you think? It's correct to make that statement that angels do not have wings.
Jordan, you got to do a word study on wings then, don't you?
Yeah, and Jordan, I was looking at the same thing that Abel was looking at, and there seems to be varying degrees, like almost 10 rank orders of angels and the like. And like you said, some have wings and some don't.
Yeah. The only couple passages that I know about are, for example, Isaiah 6, where, you know, he gets the vision of the Lord, of the seraphim around the throne. And that toy is spoken of as having six wings, right?
Right.
And then if you look at Ezekiel chapter 1, you know, with the cherubim, let's see, Ezekiel 1.
Verse 6.
Yeah. And there they have four wings, right?
Right.
So there's a difference there, isn't there, between the seraphim and the cherubim?
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
And then they said in the New Testament there's like 100 references to angels.
Right, but you see, seraphim and cherubim technically they're not the same. It's not the same term as an angel, okay?
Right. That's what my research said as well.
Okay. Now, when you look at just angels, you don't really see anything about wings there, okay, in terms of when they appear. A lot of times they seem to be like in human form when they, like, for example, with Gabriel talking to Daniel, for example.
Oh, yeah, Gabe and Michael.
Huh?
Gabriel and Michael.
Yeah, Gabriel and Michael, right.
And then when...
when you go strictly by what's revealed, that's kind of what you come away with.
Right, when Gabe appeared to Zacharias, Mary, and Joseph, mm-hmm. you didn't see... I don't think they mentioned any wings.
No, it's just like appearing like a man. Used for the flight.
Okay, then with that, I think, yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, a lot of times when we think of flight, we're always thinking about what we know down here on Earth, right?
Yeah. People don't use aerodynamics, most likely.
Yeah, that's right, most likely. By throw a factor of time in there that we don't have a clue.
On the cherubim, then they have a face of a man, a face of a calf, face of an eagle, and a face of four faces. Are they the watcher class?
Well, they were basically, if you look at it, let's see, going back, let me get back to that passage there. Ezekiel chapter 1, right? Let's see. Four faces and one was the face of a man, verse 10. One was the face of a lion. One was the face of an ox. One was the face of an eagle. So when you look at, when God, created light. Man, of course, was the creator on the last day, the sixth day. Then you had a lion, who's like the king of the wild beasts, right? And then you have the ox, which were the domesticated animals. And then you have the eagle, which is in reference to the fowl of the air. Okay, they were the rulers of that realm. Okay. And so you have pretty much the head of every type of a creative class that God made when he created, beings with breath, right?
Right.
So it's a reference to, it's a reference to, the earthly creation. In the earthly creation, man is at the head of the creation. The lion is the head of the wild beast. The ox is the head of the domesticated beast. And the eagle is the king of the fowl. And it's all in relation to the earth. Notice there aren't any fishes. Okay, because, we're talking about the earth. The Lord, when he comes, he's actually going to assume the reign. It's going to be on terra firma. It's on the earth. And in new heavens and the new earth, there is no sea, correct? No fish.
By decree of the watchers.
Yeah. See, when you think of the deep, didn't it say in as early as the first there in Genesis 1:2, there was darkness, right? Where was the darkness? On the face of the deep. It was all in the deep. Okay? Isn't that what you see in the deep oceans today? You go down to the lowest depths, it's all what? Darkness, right?
Dark. All dark.
Yeah. There's not going to be any darkness in the new heavens and new earth, and that's why there's no sea.
Remember, I got to go, so take care.
I'll see you, Earl.
All right, Earl. Good to see you.
All right, Jordan, I'm going to jump off to later for you guys.
I guess it's time for sardines. Any sardines today, Skip?
I'm going to go out and get some fish right now.
All right. Hey, Jordan. All right. Jordan, do you need me to save the recordings?
No, I got the study for you. That was great.
Announced by messengers of the Holy One or the Watchers in the King James.
Mm-hmm.
Over Nebuchadnezzar and what was going to happen to him.
Well, it's the cherubim who are always around the throne of God. You see that in Revelation chapter 4, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the cherubim that look down upon the atonement, isn't it?
Well, they made the decree that was carried out on Nebuchadnezzar where he'd eat grass like an ox and all that.
Right. And again, it's relation to the earth, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And the cherubim have faces of every kind of creation that is on the earth, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Where'd I go?
Well, I say there you go. We didn't say anything we just went over, right?
Right.
Right.
All right. Okay.